Welcome to the Speak It Podcast. I'm John Wilson with Fire and Life Safety America. Got a great show for you today. Josh Jenkins, an attorney here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee with the Hagen Law Group. We're going to be talking with him. A lot of sports talk, MTSU, Nashville Predators, Tennessee Titans. And we're going to talk a little lean laws. We're going to talk a little non-compete. So if you're a contractor, general contractor, subcontractor, tune in. You're going to really enjoy the conversation. Get to know Josh better. He is from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. And just great to kind of get to know him outside of the courtroom, out of the office. And we just had some great discussions with him. I just did a Chamber of Commerce event with him and his team and just had a great time. We'll discuss that and just a lot of topics. Once again, we are also brought to you by Ramtool. I've mentioned David Pledge. I'm going to mention to him again. Give Ramtool and David Pledge a call if you need any construction safety products, caulking, or anything. Man, if you're a contractor, subcontractor, you manage apartment complexes, if you're a regional maintenance manager, give this guy a call. Great to work with. Once again, they will deliver on site. And FLSA, hey, we use them. We enjoy them. And he's a personal friend of mine, just does a great job. Also, April 6th, Fire Line Safety America here in Nashville. We have a grand opening office. We moved to a bigger, better place. So we're going to be sharing that with clients, fire departments, our employees. Fire marshals are going to be there from 10 to 2. Come in and see if you can't win a prize. Enjoy lunch. Please let us know if you can make it. Look forward to seeing the vendors are going to be set up there and everything's just going to be a good time. Also, we are going to be having an event with BOMA, Fire and Life Safety. We're going to sponsor an event at Top Golf in Nashville in April. Also going to do a podcast with Top Golf. I've talked to one of their sales members and we're going to have an awesome podcast, I guess, overlooking the everybody swinging and have a good time. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be here in April. Where we just kind of discuss Top Golf, what's it about, how everybody can have a good time. And it's just a great networking place. If you go at night, it's probably packed. If you go at lunch, people are there networking and having a big time. And it's not all, you know, games. You can just relax, have a good time, enjoy the sunlight. And Top Golf right there off of Cowan Street, right there by 5 minutes from the Titan Stadium in the great downtown scene. Also, don't forget Fire and Life Safety America. If you recall, hey, we do fire inspections for fire sprinkler systems, fire alarm systems, fire extinguishers. We install sprinkler systems, fire alarm systems. We do fire alarm monitoring. We're starting to do more and more cell monitoring where you can cut off your phone line cost and save that cost and just go to cell monitoring. Just keep us in mind for future projects. If you're a client, thanks for listening. Share us with other people. Great to work with. I'll come out and visit with you. I do a lot of safety trainings with plants and hotels, industrial sites where we talk about fire safety, talk about the deaths that we have in Tennessee due to fires. And we share a lot of information. So just give us a call, 615-866-6537. And once again, I'm John, John with Fire Life Safety America. So give us a call. Getting ready to jump into our interview and discussion with Josh Jenkins. Big thanks to him. He helped host this show. We had a big time right there in his office. We're going to talk to him again and about, you know, we're going to talk Nashville Predators, Tennessee Titans. We're going to talk some projects and some clients that they have and things that they're working on. So really excited about that. Get to know Josh in the interview, provide some feedback, and he'll be a part of the show again. And just enjoy our time with him, and we will talk with you guys next week. Welcome to the Speak It Podcast. I'm John Wilson with Fire and Life Safety. I'm sitting here live with Josh Jenkins of the Hagen Law Group here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How you doing?
Doing well, John. How about yourself?
Doing just fine, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
It should be fun. We're going to get away from the cliche law talks. We're going to have a little fun. We'll get into some deep stuff here at the end, but wanted to have Josh on. We use him for just a couple little things, but we've enjoyed his company helping us out. But I thought it'd be really fun for the business market to have some law discussions. But we're going to talk about some everyday topics and everything like that. But want to get to know you first. Tell us about Josh, how long you've been with Hagen Logging Group, and where are you from, things like that.
All right. Well, I'm from Rutherford County. I grew up in Las Casas, so just recently moved back to Las Casas, so practicing in my hometown.
Which that's kind of, people don't know, that's kind of a North Rutherford County, kind of north, was that northwest? No, northeast east, of Murfreesboro.
Yeah. Northeast of Murfreesboro. Yeah, we're about 9 miles from the downtown square, roughly, somewhere around in there.
And that's kind of going towards Lebanon, right?
Anyway,
I know that. So the listeners may not know that. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Out that way.
Out in the country. Well, not so country anymore. Well, I think a lot of folks have found Las Casas, so there's a lot of people moving out that way.
Unfortunately, right?
Right. But, yeah, so I grew up in Rutherford County, went to school here. I've been practicing with Hagen Law Group since its inception. I guess Hagen Law Group opened up in 2015. So coming up on 3 years this year, but Mary Beth Hagen, the principal owner, I've been with her since I've been practicing, back in 2011.
Yeah, that's right. We had the putt-putt thing we were going to talk about. I met Miss Mary Beth then.
Yes,
and that was a fun event.
It was a lot of fun. Yes, that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun putting in some hours, designing your own golf hole, and get out and see what everybody does. It was a lot of fun.
That's right. So we did what was the event called?
It is the BEP, which is Business Education Partnership Foundation, the BEP Mini Masters.
Yeah.
So it was a Masters of Mini Golf.
So we were your guests. That was awesome, awesome. Each company had to, like you said, build their own kind of putt-putt hole.
Yeah.
And you guys had this incredible downtown scene with the new judicial building. Right. Where you could tell us about the hole.
Yeah,
I don't want to ruin that.
So we focus on, Mary Beth and I focus on construction-related law matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, as we're designing the hole, what are some of the big building projects going on in Rutherford County? And so we immediately thought of the Judicial Center, because that affects us,
mm-hmm.
and then also the big bridge over Broad.
That's right.
Which we affectionately call Bridgie McBridgeface. So we had Bridgie McBridgeface and the new judicial building all incorporated into the design of our whole. It turned out pretty well, having to shoot the ball up over the bridge and comes out down through the judicial center. And so I think we had a lot of fun with it. I enjoyed it.
That was a neat hole. Of course, you know, Kelly and I, we've talked about Bridge Over Broad, and you guys had this putt-putt conception. That was a tough hole.
It was very hard.
You could not have a hole in one. I don't think people appreciated that.
It was hard.
You had the little get at the bottom of the hole. You have these two little columns that wouldn't let you get all the way to the hole.
Right.
But that's awesome. One company one we wanted to mention. We haven't talked to the owners. Maybe have them on the podcast, but was Steel Barrel Brewery. They kind of sponsored it. We had a glass.
Right.
And it was good.
Well, it was all in the name of, you know, local small businesses. I mean, we got to support them. So we did our due diligence. We tried some of the beer, which was very good. But
they have a big project coming up outside of town, the new fermentation process with MTSU. So it was kind of neat to see them out and about. I hadn't seen them yet. Didn't know their name until I spoke to Kelly. So that was really cool with the small businesses and everything.
Yeah, it is a fantastic opportunity for those guys. I think what they mentioned, that they hope their project's going to be done sometime this year. I think that they told us their new facility. So that'll be great. It'll be a good partnership for MTSU with their fermentation sciences degree to have something so local with a different aspect from, they have access to facilities that do with yogurt and stuff like that, but now they get to see a little bit of the brewing aspect, so it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it was neat to see that. This Tennessee with the distilleries, craft brews, everybody's going to have a brewing cart here soon.
Right.
I don't know if everybody's be good, but let's jump into some other local topics real quick. MTSU basketball. It's kind of a sore subject.
It's still fresh.
It is. You're helping me co-host today. We're not just going to talk about law stuff. They didn't make the tournament, and they were almost a shoe-in. Did you see them lose to Southern Miss?
I did.
I just was so surprised about that.
Yeah, I think that
helped them keep them out.
I was listening to the radio this morning. They had Kermit Davis on there, and I did not know this, but he said that MTSU had not lost to Southern Miss up until that point. They had not lost to them. I guess in the conference, they've been in Conference USA.
Wow.
So it was pretty surprising. I thought that they had a shot based on their schedule to still get in, but it's so difficult for those mid-major schools.
Yeah. And they lost a close game to USC. Auburn, they destroyed Ole Miss and Vanderbilt when they were going to be good teams. Normally, right. Bubble teams are in the tournament, and they didn't. That didn't help out.
Not at all.
And they had 12 true away games that they won, 12-0. And I don't see how they couldn't sneak in, but especially with the dominance that they've had in the tournament last two or three years. So
exactly, I thought for sure with the two big upset wins the last 2 years was they got in. I think they lost what, 7 games, something like that, mm-hmm. all year. They had a top 30 in the 30s with the RPI schedule. I thought for sure.
I heard 34 today. I mean, give me a break.
And then, but at the end of the day, I think they just needed to win at least one game.
Mm-hmm.
In their conference.
And they couldn't have a bad loss like that.
No, they couldn't do it.
Now, do you follow anybody else other than MTSU or with the tournament right now, or UT or Kentucky or anybody?
I am a Vols fan.
Uh-oh, I didn't know that.
I'm a Vols fan, so I did not. This season has been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
So I was not expecting, you know, pick 13th, I think, at the beginning of the year in the SEC. And then
That's right.
They share the regular season title and then play for the championship. They couldn't pull it out yesterday, but I'd be excited just to see. Like, anything that they do now at this point is just like a cherry on top.
That's right.
I wasn't expecting
anything. That's right. Well, and of course they hired a great coach from Texas. He brought them, I want to say, 2 Final Four appearances. What's his name?
Rick Barnes,
yeah. And they're real good. I mean, I think they blew out Ole Miss twice. They really did. I think by 33 in Knoxville. But it's funny, don't you think this is ironic? They shared a title with the former UT coach, Bruce Pearl, in which they get the tiebreaker because they beat them, Auburn beat them in the regular season.
They did, yeah. So, which was another close game. But it's just exciting. You know, football's been down, so it's exciting to have another sport and UT to kind of focus on to keep us interested.
I understand. Yeah, Ole Miss fired both coaches.
Yeah.
Our basketball coach for girls and women's. They're searching for all those teams. At least the baseball team is good for now, which hosts UT baseball this weekend in Oxford, Mississippi.
Okay.
So if anybody's in town, go watch that. So let's switch over back to Kermit Davis. It looks like he is probably going to take the Ole Miss job from what I'm hearing. I'm not an official reporter. I don't work for the AP. But I'm reading and listening to sources. What do you think about Kermit going to Ole Miss? There's a twofold question there.
I think it's only a matter of time that he goes on to, quote-unquote, bigger and brighter things. I mean,
sure.
He's been at MTSU for, I don't know how long now.
It's like 16 years.
You know, a lifetime in college sports. You know,
yeah.
It seems like he's been here forever. He's done great things, really, with them sports. Specifically when they got into Conference USA, they've just been dominant the last few years. So it does not surprise me that he's being talked about for the other jobs. I wish he wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I don't know that you can blame him, you know, for going someplace else and seeing what he can do.
Yeah, I'm hearing his dad's an hour down the road in Tupelo, Mississippi. He's got some family and everything. You know, I guess if you're getting a big pay bump, but I know that he would not want to leave this area. Just, you know, he's had, like you said, a great run. Great players. I mean, they're a dominating basketball team. Mm-hmm. And then us Murfreesboro residents, heck, I went to MTSU as well, but who would we get? I mean, you got Curtis Davis lighting things up. I mean, can MTSU basketball stay on top, or, you know, are they just going to drop off the face of the earth if he leaves?
I don't know.
Because you don't know. You're talking 16 years.
I know. Talk about, you know, just consistency, and that, like you said, I don't know where they go to find who you're going to bring up, like the next great coach. I mean,
yeah.
I think MTSU is a good job, specifically with the league and the players that they have, and also with, I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago, they did the unveiling for the facilities upgrades they want to do to the football.
Yeah, I saw in the paper. Wow.
And so if they did that, I think it's just going to be even more attractive.
Well, it shows people can win here and get to the tournament. So hopefully.
And win games in the tournament.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you don't have to just get there and lose. I mean, win some games, right? I mean, they stuck at Michigan State and got somebody last year. Minnesota. And so that's great to see. It's great for the community.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can go to the game, and go watch games all season. No, you got a chance, and not just gonna get to watch a team that's gonna lose.
Right.
MTSU football and baseball and basketball have always been very good, but so that's we'll see. They play Vanderbilt, or I'm sorry, they play Vermont tomorrow night here in Murfreesboro.
That's right. Yeah.
The opening round of the NIT.
So which we'll hopefully, you know, I think they. It's been a few years back. I think they had some NIT games here, and they went decently far, if I recall. So I think that they've got a chance to at least maybe win the NIT. I mean, some type of consolation for being left out.
I just wonder if the rumors are in the locker room, how the players are going to play, that they didn't make it to NCAA. You know how it happens with the teams in the football when they don't make it to the playoff and they go play like a BCS round. And they let a lower school just, you know, really kick the crap out of them.
Yeah.
And so, kind of like Alabama with Utah and other teams like that. So, we'll see. But I hope they play well and they play as long as they can. So, why don't we jump into some law stuff real quick?
All right.
What do you say?
Let's do it. It's not as interesting as what we're talking about.
No, we'll jump back around real quick. So, what are a couple things that the Hagen Law Group and yourself, what are a couple things that you focus on that your clients have seen or some potential clients that you would like to see? And real quick, tell listeners, who are potential clients for you? What type of companies?
Potential clients for me would be, or for our firm, are primarily subcontractors, general contractors, of really any type of construction. We like to focus on businesses. We like working with businesses because we can help them not only with litigation aspect, but also, you know, contracts. We've dealt with non-competes, things like that. So really help them in all facets. In Rutherford County, we also get quite a few homeowners, you know, if homeowners having an issue with the contractor that maybe didn't do something correctly.
I didn't know that. That's good to know. Got an advocate here.
Absolutely. So anything related to construction, we can pretty much help out.
Mm-hmm.
I also do some probate work. Mm-hmm. It's something that I like. So, you know, when families, you know, are dealing with the loss of a loved one, whether or not they have a will, you know, usually they have something in an estate that needs to be handled, and you have to go through the legal process to do that, and that's called probate. And so I like to be able to do that to help some folks, you know, walk through something that is confusing that you don't deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I feel good if I can lighten the load on them.
Sure.
And it's less, not that I don't like the adversarial aspect of litigation, but it is, for the most part, non-adversarial.
That makes sense.
So they're not usually, you know, they're a little bit more happy to come see you than some of the business clients are when they have to call you to come see you at the office.
Yeah, you're fighting without the boxing gloves.
Right.
Every day. I'm sure you have to lighten the load a little bit when you get home and stuff, but it has to be done. A lot of people, companies have to have a lawyer. So you mentioned some non-competes. Is there something that you could – do you deal with people that you help write them or do you help kind of defend them? What are some things that you've done here recently that you could share a tidbit or two for some clients just on non-competes for this this subject?
I'd say more recently it had been maybe interpreting and defending some non-compete issues for a client. You know, we have clients who either have former employees in a non-compete that they have in place,
right?
Or we've had some companies that have someone come in and maybe there was a non-compete in place that we had to deal with for that new employee.
Mm-hmm.
So the important thing to remember as far as Tennessee goes.
I was about to ask you that big picture. How does Tennessee view that? If people are asking if I'm setting this up or if I'm being litigated or prosecuted against, if you will, or defending themselves, what does Tennessee think about non-competes, briefly?
Overall, Tennessee does not favor non-competes.
Okay.
Now, at the end of the day, there is a very fact-intensive inquiry that a court would make on whether one's enforceable or not. So if it is within these parameters set by the court, they're going to enforce it. They're not going to throw it out. But they are strewed very constrictly in favor of the employee, not the employer.
Okay.
So a couple of the things to keep in mind with non-competes is the mile radius. So you can't have someone that's doing work for you or work for you in the Nashville market and say, okay, you can't work anywhere else in the U.S. Uh-huh. because you've done this for us.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. What you could do is probably 50, 60-mile radius, something like that, because the court doesn't want to take someone's livelihood from them
sure.
if they change jobs.
Especially if they have a certain level of skill or trade or something that they get paid a certain amount, mm-hmm. Which could be, like you said, taken away, even if they have to work for a company 60, 100 miles out. So they look at that piece of it as well. Okay.
Right. Yeah, and that's very important, too, is what is being restrained by this non-compete.
Mm-hmm.
If it is something that you can go out and get Joe Blow off the street, bring him in, hire him, and with very little training, put him back in, that's probably not going to be something the non-compete's appropriate for.
But the company and the employee has to spend the time and the money to kind of work it through the system with like an attorney like you mm-hmm. to kind of even get to the point to where is a court going to hear that, to get to that interpretation. It just takes time.
It
takes
does.
Some money, and I'm sure it can be quite frustrating.
It does. It can be expensive for companies. I try to be very, very mindful of that in my practice, and I think having to deal with a lot of homeowners in my construction work helps, too, because I have to be mindful
mm-hmm.
Because I recognize that hiring a lawyer and going through a lawsuit is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that I can do to keep that expense as low as possible, while also, getting the best result from the client,
mm-hmm.
that's what I aim to do.
Right.
And so sometimes it will be having to be a little bit more forceful with the client saying, hey, you need to do this because in the long run it's going to be to your benefit.
Right.
And then sometimes it may just be saying, hey, contractor, it's a risk, but I'm willing to take it if you are.
Sure. You have to, lay it out there for them.
And that's all we can do.
Yeah. We'll do what you want. Here's what it's going to cost. Which route would you like to go? Like you said, you're willing to help out any way you can. What about, we just touched, non-competes, pretty well. We, some vague parameters and kind of, but we can get people to contact you. We will get your email, if that's okay,
yeah,
your phone number and the website here in a little bit.
Sure.
Let's jump over to, you mentioned lien laws.
Mm-hmm.
What, collections and, how am I going to get that? Is this company strong enough for me to, put something against them? Why don't we briefly talk about lien laws, Tennessee, and a piece of advice for someone if they're trying to collect and things like that?
Yeah, the number one thing to remember with lien laws for a contractor is timing.
Okay.
Because there are different timing, for when they can put down a lien. If you miss by day, you just missed any right to lien a property.
And now, is that a
time?
Is that a city thing here, or is that the state of Tennessee?
That is the state of Tennessee. It's set by statute.
Okay.
And so there, without getting too complicated.
Yes. Just a couple of things for people to learn to pick up on.
Right. It is important for anyone that is considering filing a lien needs to know, okay, when did I start working on the project? When did my work finish, or when was the project complete,
mm-hmm.
And when's the last time I've been paid? And the second, I'd say, next thing that the attorney needs to know when a contractor comes in is what type of project. Was it a commercial project or residential project?
Mm-hmm.
Because that can automatically tell me if my potential client or my client has any lien rights. A subcontractor does not have any lien rights on a residential project.
Okay.
And so you have to, in order on residential property to have lien rights, you have to have a contract directly with the owner. So that cuts out any subcontractors from filing liens on property.
Oh, that is a really good point, because their contracts with the general contractor / owner, is owner of the, that firm, not the home, who's
right.
going to be bought by the resident.
Right.
That's a good point. Now, who are potential clients for you with liens? Construction companies only, people collecting on, hit that real quick.
Yes, primarily general contractors and subcontractors on commercial projects.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, I encourage, you know, contractors or potential clients to always, you know, if you think, if you haven't been paid and you even have a question, give me a call. Because there's been some instances to where we thought a client might have been a subcontractor on residential property and not entitled to a lien. But with some digging, we found out, well, maybe the general contractor is also the owner of the property.
Okay, yeah.
And that creates lien rights.
Yeah.
And so I've had a couple of clients where that turns out to be the case. You know, they think that they're just dealing with the general contractor, but it's also owner-developer.
Yeah.
And so that turns them into a prime contractor, which thereby gives them lien rights on the property.
That is good. Getting some free legal advice sitting right here, guys. Take advantage of that. Let's do two things real quick. What is your website for people real quick? The Hagen Law Group. We'll get out with some contact. We're not done, but contact information real quick.
Sure. Our website is www.hagenlg.com. So Hagen, H-A-G-A-N, L-G, like the TV, .com.
And what's your best phone number to reach you here on site?
It's 615-546-4070.
Do you want to give out an email?
Sure. My email is Josh, J-O-S-H, at HagenLG.com. And so if you want to send an email in, just, you know, put something in the subject line so I know what's coming.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe how you found it, if it's through the podcast, or, you know, we like to track where we get our leads from.
Yeah.
Just to give an idea.
And that's a good segue, because I was going to ask, and I like to ask, you know, we asked Jessica on our last podcast, hey, how are you getting – your business? How do you guys market yourselves through any outlets, you know, Facebook, just word of mouth? I know it's different with us, commercial construction companies, fire and life safety, versus with you guys. Anybody can walk by, and obviously you may not serve just walk by because you focus on construction and business owners.
Right.
But how do you guys market your, you know, your company?
We have, I think, our website. If you go to it, check it out. I think we have a very user-friendly website.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find out what we do, who we are, what we stand for. I think we have a good online presence that way. We also do maintain a Facebook page.
Okay, great.
As well. Just another way to we have news stories on our website, but it's another avenue for people to find out, hey, what's going on, you know, Hagen Law Group. Like, we did a post about the mini masters that we did
at
the firm. So that's up there. But as an attorney, we get a lot of referrals from other attorneys and then repeat clients.
That's how we connected, through a referral.
Absolutely. And so we have a good relationship, I feel, with local attorneys here in Murfreesboro, but also in Nashville, because of what we do. We, you know, we don't do any criminal law. We don't do any family law. And so a lot of attorneys around here do. So it gives us an avenue of, hey, I may not do construction, but give Josh a call. I know he does. And then if I get a client that I don't do family law, I may refer them to somebody else, you know. But, you know, if we get someone that emails us, calls us, we look at every inquiry that comes in. We talk to probably 95% of those people that come in, whether we take the case or not.
Right.
But try to, if it's not a case that we can take or don't do, we try to find a referral. We don't want anybody to call here and then not have an option.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, that's probably it for the law discussions until we get to the next one. But anything else you want to cover about Murfreesboro? Are you a Titans fan or Predators fan?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
I hear I'm getting someone, I'll mention him, Johnny really wants me to get in and speak to some people for the Titans and Predators. He lives in Mississippi, but he loves Nashville, and so he loves the Predators, the Titans. He said, "Man, find some beat writers for those for those teams, and talk to them." But it looks like the Predators are killing it right now. I heard they how many they win in a row? Almost 10.
They went 10 in a row, and then lost in a shootout the other night. So
really,
for number 11.
Oh my god!
Last Saturday night. Yeah.
Wow. So they're playing well. Is Fisher back on the team?
He is.
He came out of retirement.
He came back out of retirement. Couldn't stand it, and I think his first game back, he scored a goal.
Did he really?
Comes out of retirement, first game back, he scores a goal.
How about that? So he just retired in the offseason?
He planned it. Yeah, he retired.
Okay.
I think he planned it. He was like, let's see what the Predators are able.
Yep. Coach of the Texans, but he played under Belichick.
Yeah.
Of course, the general manager also worked under Belichick. What do you think about him? Do you have any inklings as we kind of end this up? He's got to be pretty good.
I would hope so. Vrabel's like my kind of guy. I played football, and so he's my kind of guy. I can sympathize. He seems like a player's coach, but
defensive-minded guy. Is he no-nonsense? Does he have a personality?
I think both.
Both? Okay. Because Belichick's like a – he's got the personality of a cereal box, right?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it's just – of course, that's what he shows to the media. So we don't know much behind the scenes. But Vrabel, we'll see. I think it all depends on who you also hire as players. So they've done pretty well, going 9-7 2 years in a row?
Yep. Yeah, won the first playoff game.
That's right. That's right.
Of course, they went to New England, and I'm interested to see. I think it's going to be – from what I would read and stuff, players liked Mularkey, but I feel like the offense needed a little bit more updating.
Oh, man.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, use Mariota's legs. He can throw. He can run. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see what happens this year. We've got some good players.
And, man, they let DeMarco Murray go. Did you see that?
Let Murray go.
I mean, he got hurt. And Derrick Henry, who is a beast once he gets heading downhill. He had one of the fastest, miles per hour run times in the league this year. Him and Leonard Fournette. So once he gets going – you're not going to tackle
him. I'm not going to get in front of him.
No. Yeah. And you played linebacker in college, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to get in front of him.
6'3", 245, which is Derrick Henry. Josh is slightly shorter than that. Yeah. But I'm excited about it. I'm glad they kind of made a move. I know they won a playoff game, but I'm kind of glad they made a move because it just wasn't – the personality, the like you said, the offense needed – the defense was great. Of course, they're not keeping LeBeau, I don't believe.
No, I don't think they're keeping
him. He needs retirement. Go enjoy – he's almost 80. Go sit on the island and enjoy your time.
Maybe this is his retirement. This is his retirement plan. It's just to continue country football. I tell you, one thing that's just been
– that's a good point. Do what you love.
Right.
Do what you love. So, okay.
One thing that's been fun for me as an MTSU and a Titans fan is watching Kevin Byard – go through.
Yeah.
So my father-in-law has season tickets and has enough for us to go. So we've been going to football games for a number of years. And so it's been fun. I mean, we all knew how good he was.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just tell.
How many interceptions did he have as a rookie this year?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he led the league or tied for leading with the league, I think. And
Kevin, what's his last name?
Byard.
Rookie from MTSU, he's a Blue Raider, and coming in on 40. You've probably seen it, the banner.
Yeah.
The big billboard they have with him, the MTSU jersey. No one, he got drafted, third, fourth round?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's an all-pro as a rookie, defensive back, just killing it.
Yeah,
he's what a great story.
Fantastic player. And it's good to see somebody from our local MTSU, playing right, making a name for himself in the NFL just right here, right in Nashville.
It's, 35 it's minutes awesome. Up the road.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That is good. Well, we've got a lot to look forward to with the Titans coming up. Got a draft coming up.
Got a draft, yeah.
We'll have to discuss. We'll have a brief segment on some law stuff. How about we discuss a draft together?
We'll have to do that. And then an update on the Preds. It's getting close to playoff time.
Yep.
They're going to make the playoffs.
How many more games? Why don't you help as the – how many more games do they have? Do you have any idea?
I think they've got about 14 or 15 more games.
That is getting close.
Very close.
Because I'll have to brush up on it. But
so I checked it this morning. They've got 14, 15 games left. They're currently first in the Western Conference.
Really?
And 2 points out of first overall.
So they're going to be in the playoffs.
Okay.
Last year's Smashville, everybody wanted to go to those games. I mean, you could. The place was so packed. I think the whole country loved to see how excited Nashville was.
Right.
With that yellow, whether it be in Nashville or they're – with the catfish. We're going to have to discuss the catfish. Maybe in a couple of weeks, because this thing is – we'll hit this thing up probably tomorrow, send it out. And so I'd like to have something that is fresh and updated. So we'll discuss the draft, Predators, and the catfish.
Yeah, catfish.
So I'll let you enter in 2 seconds. But I didn't know. Look, I've been living here for 11 years, and here this last year – everybody's throwing catfish onto the ice rink. I had no idea.
Yeah, the guy was even, what, arrested in Pittsburgh there in the, he threw the catfish Jake.
Yeah, that's right. And people had to, I think they took it really serious, and he may have been let out of jail, maybe a $45 fine or something. But my thing is this, let's get serious now. Is somebody going to eat those catfish?
No.
I mean, really. Sure. We're going to gut the catfish, throw it out there. We're not going to eat the catfish, so I don't want to give PETA something to be stirred up about.
But I still want to be the guy trying to smuggle this thing in.
I know. Hey, I was at a – let me tell you this, and we'll end this. I had a networking event at the Bridgestone Arena, I don't know, at the preseason, which was a lot of fun. And then they had – Pensacola had a booth outside, and they had a mullet-throwing station. So I get out there, throw a glove on, and I'm throwing mullet, the fish, into a bucket because it's like cornhole, but right. It's also like them thinking you're throwing the catfish on the rink. Right. So it's a lot of fun.
That
so Pensacola
fun, yeah.
In Nashville doing some marketing
there you go.
With mullet throws. So you just never know how you could marketing is just keep it fresh, right?
Right, exactly. So,
but I appreciate your time. This is been a great segment of law, fun, sports with John Wilson. I'm with Fire and Life Safety America, who we've used Josh a little bit for a couple little things. But Josh Jenkins of the Hagen Law Group. Man, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun.
Was this fun?
It was fun.
I know we had to get away from law, but we had to let people know what you do.
Right.
So they can call you and get serious about some law stuff, but they may be sitting here and ask some sports as well.
Hey, fill in sports radio or something. You know, you never know.
There you go. You'll be the next celebrity.
I won't quit my day job.
Me either. Well, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you guys next week.